And a good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Education is the topic for our show today, the entire hour. We're going to be talking with our guest from USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools, as we do twice a month, and Manhattan Christian College. Kevin Ingram will join us here in a little bit. Joining us from the school district, though, we have Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brandon.
And Kurt Herman, school board member, joining us here as well. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to both of you again. And it's been a wild couple weeks here since we last spoke to our district officials. Of course, we had the closure of school on Friday. And Manhattan Ogden wasn't the only one. There was quite a few in the state of Kansas that had to close. But I got the four-day weekend, and I'm just curious. My first question I wanted to ask here today was, how much did that help here alleviate some of the stresses on staff?
You know, from what I can see, following the absence levels of all of our programs, it helped quite a bit. I think having a little extra time to get over. So we're not having near as many subs out. And by near as many, it's still well above normal. So I don't think we're operating in a normal capacity, but able to operate in a little bit more reasonable capacity this week.
Oh, that's good to hear, because it got a little bit hairy there late last week. Of course, College Hill having to close.
It was dicey. It was very dicey.
Yeah, no question about it.
And that's the one thing that, you know, I'm really proud of the way that our district has handled the COVID so far, and I still stand by our masking mandate that we have. But I think a lot of things people need to keep in mind. It's not just the kids, it's the staff too. I mean, and we got it, and that's kind of where we're really taking a hit right now is the staff.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think that's been kind of overlooked a little bit is the concern for the staff, because if you don't have teachers, you really can't do much.
Yeah. And that goes on all of our staffs. And I know we have had the conversation, you know, about being short bus drivers, being short in child nutrition and custodial maintenance. And when we start dropping those people, when we're already several people short, and it just complicates the situation very, it makes it really difficult and hard to do what we need to do for kids. And that's what all we're trying to do is be there for kids and families and have school as safely as we possibly can, as much as we possibly can.
And I really got to give a shout out to, you know, the community. We've had a lot of, I would call them volunteers, although they're technically district employees, but I'll compliment Youth Are Ready, you know, city commissioner, mayor, former mayor, and she's come out of school teaching retirement. She's substituting for us now. And Doug Messer, former board member, is driving buses for us again. And so there's been a lot of the community step forward and helping us out right now. We need more.
Yep. Well, you know, another thing that was announced last week, it's so hard to remember. This has been the longest month, I tell you. But the Kansas State Department of Education made a move there, kind of changing up the requirements for substitutes. And I'm curious how that may impact the school district going forward.
Yeah, you know, it used to be you could get emergency sub license with 60 college credit hours, and you could apply and you could sub. Of course, if you're a retired teacher and you want to keep your teaching license, you can always substitute on your teaching license. But they took away the 60-hour requirement in that and allowed for just a more relaxed license for a substitute teacher, meaning you just needed a college or a high school diploma and had to be over 18 to be able to do that. So we did have a few people kind of enter in that. There's still a process you have to go through. You know, there's still fingerprinting, there's background checks, there's things you can't just put anybody with kids. No matter how dire the situation is, you got to make sure it's safe. You got to make sure it's responsible. So there's still a time to that process, but it looks like they're going to allow that for the remainder of this school year. I don't think that's being allowed to extend into next school year that I know of yet. But for right now, I think we should be able to get a few more people on our sub list And right now, every little bit helps, just to make sure we're doing what we can do. When we get those days when 90 to 100 teachers are out, we will need the extra subs.
Yeah, and I don't know how that works. You have a, I know you have a pool of substitutes that you draw from, but I don't know how large that is.
Yeah, well, normally our sub pool is about 120 people, but they want to be subs because they want to work the days they need to work, and they want some flexibility in their schedule. So we will typically have about 30 openings a day that we need substitutes for. At the end of last week, we were running in the 90s and got up into 100 requests when we had our closure on Friday. So those 120 subs for 100 spots, unless you're having every one of them work. And the problem is, the bigger you have your sub list, we could get up to 150 people. But then when we get back to normal and we're only 30, 35, 40 openings, then people don't get enough work too, and then they don't want to be on our sub list either if they don't get enough work. So that's kind of a touchy situation, where the bigger the list is, it helps you on those bad days. But the bigger the list is, it can kind of cut people off your list if they're not getting enough days.
Well, certainly a challenge there, and we'll hope for the better here as we get into the end of January and into February. I think we're about reached our peak. I remember the health department director saying that last week. We're getting closer to peaking, and maybe things will start to settle down a little bit. So, as far as the other announcements here in the district, we have some recognitions that are going to be taking place tonight. You want to talk a little bit about that, Kurt?
Yeah. Yes. That's always excuse me. That's the best part of every meeting, is, you know, we get to recognize staff and students. And one of our high school yearbook, the Big Blue M, MHS Blue M yearbook, won the All Kansas Award. There's 21 schools that were awarded this, given this award, and actually some of the local schools, actually Rock Creek won it for their class also. But it's over, you know, concepts, coverage, reporting, photography, design. Christy Knipe is the sponsor, or the teacher and the sponsor of that the group that puts out those yearbooks. And it's like, I saw the scorecard that they use. There's 100 different points that they check and grade us on. So that's pretty remarkable, and we'll be honoring them tonight. And also we have we have another national board certified teacher, Sam Cool at Bluemont. And we have, to put that in perspective, we have a total of 27 in our entire district that are nationally board certified. And it may be kind of a familiar name. I think it's a family thing going on, because Corey Cool, her husband, was our teacher of the year several years ago as well. So congratulations to Sam also. She's a first grade teacher at Bluemont. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. And then we also have Brooke Snyder. She's a fourth grade teacher at Woodrow Wilson Elementary. She's our master teacher of the year this year. So lots of a couple of outstanding teachers and a group at the high school that we're going to honor tonight.
I think it's great, that last name, Mrs. Cool. I mean, that's perfect.
How cool is that, right?
Exactly. Wonderful recognition there, and congratulations to Brooke and to Sam Cool for that wonderful recognition. Of course, the Blue M yearbook as well. That's always neat to see, and glad that they're getting the recognition that they so well deserve. As far as donations and grants, you want to talk about that as well?
Yes, I knew you were going to ask me, and I just was on it. Yes, so another great thing that we like to recognize every meeting. We have a $5,000 cash donation from the Fridge Wholesale Liquor to Manhattan High School for the softball program. $1,000 cash donation from the Anita Peterman Estate for the Fit Closet Supplies. $603 cash donation from Trinity Presbyterian Church to Lee Elementary for supplies and field trips. $800 cash donations from Civic Plus to Manhattan High School for Robotics Club regional travel expenses, and a $500 cash donation from Center Point Physicians PA to the Manhattan High School for orchestra trip. It's for a total of $7,900.
All right. Well, that's always good to hear.
But... yeah, it always pains me. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, our community steps forward for us. But, you know, when I first got on the board, the school district used to provide money for field trips. And we don't do that anymore. So it's great. I appreciate that the community steps forward so we can still do those.
Awesome. Good to hear. As far as other announcements here, and we'll take a break here in just a moment, but I know that there's some upcoming community conversations starting next week that I know, Eric, we should probably talk about here. It's regarding the East Campus future use.
Yeah. A while back, the board accepted a grant proposal from Blue Cross Blue Shield, basically to help us with the community conversations of what we do with East Campus. Are there other opportunities to explore? Are there other entities that would have use of some space down there? And right now, it's just conversation of who's interested, what are some of the options. But the Office of Civil Discourse at K-State is kind of spearheading that part. And that's why I'm grateful for the grant opportunity that Blue Cross Blue Shield Community Health Grant applied for us. And to be able to have those conversations, because I think some of the groups that are interested in it, one of them I know that I've talked with the most is Common Table, about having a common space down there using the cafeteria. So the district isn't finished. We're about ready to start our conversations of what we need out of East Campus as far as district space. But it's a really large building, and maybe there's a place to partner with as we move forward. So yeah, we've got those conversations. The first one is in person, and it's down at East Campus, and it's on Tuesday the 25th, 6 to 8 basically. And then I think there's a virtual one on the Saturday, and I haven't seen the information come out on that as far as what time, but we'll try to share out that information, put it in our community announcements. Just grateful for those opportunities. And then we'll have two more in February as well.
All right. Some good information there. And we'll see what happens down the road with that discussion. We're going to take a timeout, come back more, talk about with more about the school board meeting here with Eric Reed and Kurt Herman as In Focus continues here on News Radio KMAN.